Welcome to Mark and Friends. I'm your host, Donna Leland. And today we're talking with author Kevin Chandler. And Kevin has an interesting approach to the idea of hospitality. Thank you so much, Kevin, for joining us here on Mark and Friends.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Let's think about your book. It's called The Hospitality of Need. And the second title is How Depending on One Another Helps Us Heal and Grow Together. So you're putting together a couple things, hospitality and need. How did that concept get developed in your mind?
Well, so I have a disability, a disease called spinal muscular atrophy. And what that means is my brain does not tell my muscles what to do very well. And so they are weak and growing weaker over time. And so I spend my life in a power wheelchair, and I depend on a lot of people to make my life happen. But I'm 39 and have spent my whole life with this disease, and so as a result, I've gotten to experience a lot of friendships that have sprouted from my need, from caregiving and just everyday tasks that I need help with. And so throughout that experience over the past several years, it's always kind of come naturally of inviting people into my need and seeing ways that I can care for them in the process, sometimes just through friendship, through presence, and through paying attention to them while they take care of me. But just over the past few years, I was really challenged by some of those very friends to think more about that and be more intentional with what that means and how to share that idea with the world. And so along the way, what I realized was that there is a element of hospitality that we can find in our needs, that our needs don't have to be obstacles to caring for others, but actually opportunities to go deeper in fellowship.
I bet a lot of people who have come into your world have come in because of the healthcare system and other things related to your need. How have you used that in reaching them?
Honestly, it's been a lot of friends from church or from school, you know, back when I was in high school and then college. And I know a lot of just local people, and friends lead to other friends, where, you know, my roommate, before I got married, my old roommates would say, oh, I've got another friend that maybe we could invite to help get you up on this morning or help turn you over at night on this night. And so some of those friendships have actually started with that invitation. Others have been, you know, surface level friendships, meet someone at a coffee shop or get invited to a movie or go for a walk. And then after a while of getting to know them, then I'll say, hey, would you mind helping with this aspect of my life? And so the friendship gets to go deeper in that experience. And a lot of that is because my needs require such direct attention that what that translates to is quality time together, where I'm paying attention to them and they're paying attention to me. That's just it's a good start for deeper friendship.
Now, your co-author on your book is Tommy Shelton. How did you and Tommy connect and then get this idea to write this book?
Tommy and I have known each other since I was in middle school. He was in high school. He's a few years older than me. He was kind of a friend of my brother's and a friend of the family and grew up in the same town. And it wasn't until college for me that we really, our friendship went to a deeper level, because we grew up in North Carolina, but he became a pastor in Tampa, Florida. And so a mutual friend invited me to go down and visit Tommy when I was in college. And so we reconnected, and some of that was actually through my need and asking him to help with things. And from there, we stayed in touch and got to a point where I was going down to visit him and be part of his church and on a more regular basis, maybe once or twice a year. It's just been a great friendship for both of us, where we've both had the opportunity to, well, as the book says, heal and grow together.
Now, where do you see in the Bible how this idea of using your need to care for other people, where does that play out?
It's interesting because it never says it verbatim. However, what we do see throughout Scripture, whether it's Paul or Jesus or Peter or John, they all talk about putting others before ourselves, about caring for others and loving one another. Nowhere in there does it say, and this kind of caught me a few years ago, caught me off guard, is it never says put the needs of others before your own unless your needs are blank. It's always, no, this is what you're supposed to do. And so I began asking the question to myself and to the Lord in my quiet time and asking friends as well, well, if that's the case, if I'm always supposed to put the needs of others before my own, but I have need, what do I do with that? I don't sweep it under the rug. I don't, you know, what do I do with that? I don't demand mine over theirs. And what I have discovered, and Tommy was really helpful in conveying this in the book, is that when Jesus was here on earth, his time here was spent fully God and fully man. And the fully man part meant that he had physical needs. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He needed to bathe like the rest of us. And so he needed a womb to be born into this world through. And so we started looking at those examples of Jesus's human need and how he used that to care for those around him. An example would be that when the woman at the well, when he speaks with her, he doesn't start with the deeper parts of their conversation. He doesn't start with, right now you worship here and the Jewish people worship over here, but one day, you know, and he especially doesn't start with, you've been married 5 times and the man you're with is not your husband. That would be an awkward start to a conversation. Instead, Jesus uses his human need, his thirst in that moment, to break down these barriers and approach this woman by really inviting her in and saying, will you give me a drink of water? He shouldn't have been speaking to her because he was a man. He shouldn't have been speaking to her because he was Jewish and she was not, and he did. He invited her to not just communicate with him, but actually serve him, and that gave her buy-in to the conversation, and that led to her conversion, her healing, and a changed life, and a whole town coming to the Lord.
I really do think, Kevin, you are presenting something in a new way here, so might take us a little bit to really wrap our brain around this idea of using one's need to invite other people in. So what's the difference, okay, between asking for help and this idea that you have of inviting people into your need?
Yeah, it's definitely a fine line, isn't it? And it's something that we address in the book, that I call it a tightrope walk. And so often our needs we see as either burdens that we should hide away or be ashamed of, or we see them maybe unintentionally as idols, and we put them out there and we expect the world to revolve around our needs or even the needs of someone else that we care about. The difference between asking versus inviting would be, I think, that posture, because the tightrope, the fine line in between there, is recognizing our needs as opportunities and recognizing our needs as tools to care for others. Yes, there may be, you may literally, verbally, actually using a question, asking, can you help me with this thing? But it's really more a matter of the posture and your perspective on your need. I like to see my need as, let's say, a door that we can go through together. That my friend and I, he's not just coming in to serve me, and then later I'll serve him. It's my need is a project that we get to kind of approach shoulder to shoulder, and in that process, he is also cared for. So yeah, it's a fine line, but I think it's a posture that we need to be aware of and be careful of, especially in our culture today.
Yeah, that really is helping me a lot to get this concept. Now, you draw a lot of inspiration from the Bible. Can you give us some of the connection points that you share in the book?
I mentioned the woman at the well. That's a big one for us. I feel like that was kind of the tipping point of realizing a perfect example in the Bible of how Jesus used his human need to care for others. A couple others would be the woman that came in and washed his feet. She was scoffed at for doing so, and the people that he was with were embarrassed, and yet this gave Jesus an opportunity to lift her up and, actually stand up for her, which from what we can gather about her and her life choices, she had probably not had very many men, stand up for her and defend her and honor her like that. In fact, in the verses following that story, it says that it lists some people who traveled with Jesus, and it lists several women. Makes me wonder if that's why they traveled with them, is because they felt seen and honored and cared for. The example that we get of that in the gospel account is a woman washing his feet, which you would think would lower her, but he actually uses the opportunity to raise her up and lift her up. And then one of my favorites is when Jesus comes back from the dead. He defeats death, and he goes to see his disciples, and the first thing that he asks them is, "Do you have anything to eat?" Which I think we typically would kind of gloss over and move on, except that for them, if he's asking for something to eat, number one, that probably means he's not a ghost. This is Jesus incarnate coming back to see his friends, his disciples. And then secondly, it gave them something to do in the moment. It gave them a way to really reconnect with him through caring for him and providing, because otherwise they maybe would have just stood around awkwardly and in awe, but he needed something to eat, and so that gave them an opportunity to be part of the moment. And then, throughout the book, there's a ton of other references to scripture, as I mentioned earlier, with Paul talking a lot about putting others before yourself, and so we dig into that quite a bit, as along with sharing my own personal story of how I've seen this principle play out in my own life as a believer and in the church around me.
We always think of, disabilities as a one-way street. The stronger, the more able-bodied is the one doing all the caregiving. A physical disability is one thing, but there's also many other kind of needs emotionally, mentally. We all find ourselves, I think, in a needy place at some time, and it's just very humbling to admit that we have a need. Talk a little bit about the benefit of the person who is willing to spend their time, their talent, their treasure in the meeting of another person's need.
I agree. I think, when we think of need, we think of the extreme examples. We think of the disabled or the elderly or the children, the child with us, and we think of what we can bring to another person's needs. We typically list our strengths as our physical strength or our financial well-being or some skill that we have, whereas, well, A, we all have needs in some way. I have heard all my life, and I believe that we're all broken, we're all disabled in some way, whether that is a profound physical disability or an emotional struggle or a spiritual struggle, a spiritual weight. We are all dealing with something. And so there's that, but also we can add those needs to our tool belt. We can add our need as a, to quote the Princess Bride, we can list it among our assets, you know? And so I think that that's important to realize that the line between guest and host, the line between giver and receiver really blurs very quickly when we realize what we have to offer as the one in need. Sometimes that is just the opportunity for someone else to use their gifts. Sometimes it's the opportunity to, even though they're providing the physical or the financial help or the spiritual help, it's also giving us an opportunity to pay attention to them and see them. When was the last time they got to be seen? I have a friend who has gotten me up in the morning for a few years, and he has been an executive director of a major ministry. He's been a pastor. He's a dad and a husband, and serves widows and all over the city. And yet, once a week, having an hour and a half, where he comes to my house and helps me with things in a way that he has told me, this is my quiet, like, downtime for the week, because you see me and we talk about life and it's a mutual exchange of care for one another. I think that's so important, because the world would look on and say, oh, in that case, Kevin is the one with the need and Eric is the one with the strength and the skill to take care of Kevin's needs. But in fact, he needs the care as well. He needs the attention and the love. He needs the ear lent to him to hear what he's going through and dealing with. And maybe it's just that he needs a few minutes of quiet and calm, and I can give that. So I'm thankful for that opportunity and those opportunities that have come my way from not just inviting people, not just asking for help in that way, but for really saying, yes, why don't you come in and be a part of what's going on here?
That's just so beautiful. What an easy, loving rhythm that you've created in through your need. I think this is a great challenge for those who are finding themselves in that needy season of their life. Maybe they've always been the strong one, and now they're in that helpless stage. Just as an encouragement to start seeing that need as an opportunity to minister to other people. The Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know really what that need was, that weakness was, but he certainly gave that over to the Lord, and I think invited other people in to help meet it. If it was an eye issue, maybe he had to have, like he said, other people write some of his letters, and I'm sure assist him in so many other ways. What do you think about the Apostle Paul, Kevin, and his need?
You know, he had Luke traveling with him. He had different people writing his letters for him at times. And then, you know, sometimes when he did write them, it was big and sloppy, you know? He didn't let that slow him down, and he didn't let that become the focus of his ministry. He used it as an example here and there, but he actually kept his focus on the church. He kept his focus on the people that were following the Lord. And I think he was able to do that. Maybe it's a chicken and egg thing, where he was able to do that because he had people around him, but maybe he had people around him because he wasn't making it all about himself, right? And he was making it about something bigger and just needed people to come alongside him to make that happen. And, you know, we even see in one of the churches, shares how he came to them to share the gospel, and when he got there, he was sick and he was weak. Typically, I think the world would look on that and say, oh, then he had to press pause. He had to wait until he was better, and then he could present the gospel. But he seems to indicate and imply that that was what brought them together. That softened the people and what prepared them for the gospel. And he didn't slow down. He just said, all right, this is where we are. This is what we're doing. Let's see how Christ is going to show up in this. And he showed up in mighty ways. He even talks about how it gave the people an opportunity to give and to care for him. And he seems to speak of that in a positive light for them, not just for himself.
And it really is a testimony to the world when you see people caring for those who are in a needy situation, but also that care being returned to the caregiver. I mean, it really is an example of Christ and his ability to love everyone on this planet. Also, the Apostle Paul, he really talked about glorifying in his weakness. I mean, who does that? Glorifying in his weakness. But he realized when he's weak, then he's strong. He's strong in the Lord. And so I'm not there yet. I don't know. Maybe you are, Kevin.
Oh, I've got a long way to go, but that's why we have a whole life to grow in the Lord, and that's why we have the Holy Spirit to continue to work on us, isn't it? And one another.
That is so true. Well, I want to thank you so much for bringing awareness to our eyes about the hospitality of need. We've been talking with Kevin Chandler, and he has just published a book along with Tommy Shelton from Moody Publishers. It's called The Hospitality of Need, How Depending on One Another Helps Us Heal and Grow Together. Thank you so much, Kevin, for being a part of Mark and Friends.
Yeah, thank you, Donna.
And thank you, dear listener, for joining us for Mark and Friends. We're a ministry of Great News Media. Have a great day.